As many of you know, my home for a very long part of my life was in and around the regions of Buffalo, New York, in Western New York. And I only moved into this region, this area we call Central Pennsylvania, about 20 years ago. But in the meantime, I used to come to Harrisburg quite frequently, not actually to Harrisburg itself. But sometime in the mid-80s, I began my postgraduate studies down in Washington, D.C., and I used to make the trek from Buffalo to Washington on a regular basis, and the easiest way there was to use what we might call the Route 15 corridor. Which means you made your way to sort of the Corning area, and then you got on US 15, and you started coming down, and it came through all the hills and valleys of northern Pennsylvania, and then you came to the Susquehanna Valley, and you traced along the Susquehanna River until you finally got to the Maryland border, and then, you know, beyond. And I remember that in those early days of making that trip, it would take me about 6.5, maybe 6.75 of an hour to get from Buffalo to just outside of Harrisburg. And I remember driving by Harrisburg across the river and seeing that beautiful Capitol building rising up there. Never in my wildest imagination did I realize at that time that I would be living eventually in its shadow, quite literally. But I made that trip many times, the beginning and end of every term, and for breaks, and for family events where I'd have to go home. And so it was quite a journey. It was a whole day just to get from one place to the other. And then things began to happen. About the second year that I had to make that trek, they started working on Route 15, up near Liverpool and that area, and they started blasting away parts of the mountain. And then I realized what they were going to do was to make this, what was pretty fundamentally a two-lane highway, into this broad highway where there would be two lanes in each direction and a center turn lane and limited access and all of that. Not only were they doing that there, but then north of Lewisburg, they were making improvements to Route 15 as well, and then you got up to Williamsport, and beyond that, there was already a lot of highway built. But there was a point where you had to give up that easy route, and you ended up driving down into the valley, and you would have to go on these turns, these windy turns all along the different waterways on which these little boroughs were founded. And then you'd have to make your way up the windy road up the mountain again and then back down again, sometimes riding the brakes all the way, because if you let it go, you'd be going a little bit too fast, and there usually was a policeman somewhere nearby. You began to realize where those places were if you made the trip frequently. But you know, just weeks ago, as you may know, I journeyed home back to Buffalo for the funeral of my aunt. And leaving Harrisburg, we made the trip in 5.5 hours. And not only that, we had stopped along the way a couple of times for those necessary sort of stops, because now it's 20 years later. And I was amazed. It just dawned on me how easy the trip had become. And as I was thinking about today's gospel lesson and the quote we hear from the prophet Isaiah, it all made sense. Because over many years, almost a generation, and with great expensive resources, in point of fact, the valleys had been filled in and the mountains made low, all by bridges and easier ways of accommodating the trip. And those crooked ways that went through the little hills and valleys and the boroughs in the north part of Pennsylvania, they were no longer there. They had what we call bypasses, which made the road straight. and because the road was new, it was smooth. And so in a very real way, the words of the prophet Isaiah are true. That it is possible to fill in the valleys and lower the mountains and make the crooked ways straight. PennDOT did it. I don't think Isaiah was thinking about the trip between Harrisburg and Buffalo when he wrote these words, nor even the evangelist Luke when he applied them to John the Baptist. But they're important words anyway, because given the words themselves, it seems like an almost impossible task. Who could fill in a valley? Who could tear down a mountain? Who could make those crooked ways straight? Well, with our technology and our ability, we found that we could actually do it in the physical world, in the concrete world, quite literally. But I don't think that's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about, and I don't think that's what Luke was thinking either when he applied these words to John the Baptist. He was thinking about those obstacles that we place in our way when we are looking for the kingdom of God. And that these obstacles, the low valleys, the high mountains that you have to trek over the top of them, and the crooked valleys that slow you down, and of course, going through the little burrows in northern Pennsylvania, you find, oh, there's a nice diner, let's stop there. Maybe there's a nice farm stand, we'll stop there. And there are all these distractions along the way. Of course, that's why they were designed that way and where they were located. No, the ways were now straight. There were very few dips where you had to go deep down into a valley. And seldom did you have to scale to the very top of a mountain. Now, Isaiah and Luke were thinking not so much about the physical journeys we have to take, but about our hearts. What are some of the valleys that we go through in our life? Those dark moments, those deep depressions where we just go down and down and we don't think that there's a way out. How many of those high mountains are there when we are elated because something is wonderful, but it took a very long time and a lot of hard work to get there? And those crooked ways. Maybe they speak more to us of the temptations and the distractions that are in our lives every day that keep us from keeping on toward that goal, which is the kingdom of God. And so Luke applies this to John the Baptist, saying that as he announces and points the way to Jesus, John is actually beginning this process of filling in the valleys and lowering the mountains and making the crooked ways straight, making the rough ways smooth. And he points to Jesus because it is Jesus who is the one who proclaims the coming of the kingdom of God among us. That kingdom is real, it is concrete. That's why Luke goes through all of that about the emperor Tiberius and Pontius Pilate and Herod and Philip and all of the rest of them to tell us that it is real, it is true, it is in history. Jesus lived among us. And as Jesus lived and walked among us, he preached the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God became real. But what becomes very clear in the course of the good news of the gospel, even as Luke tells it to us, particularly as he relates the story of Jesus and then turns his attention to the early church in the book of Acts, he is saying that that task which began with John the Baptizer and then Jesus was the herald of the kingdom, that task now belongs to us, to you and to me. That it is now our job, our mission, to make low the mountains, to fill in the valleys, to make straight the ways, to take away the distractions in our world, that can let us see finally the fullness of the kingdom of God. Those valleys sometimes exist in our hearts, as I've mentioned. Those hills sometimes in our hearts, as I've mentioned. Sometimes those crooked ways as well, and the rough places. We can imagine situations in our lives that match each and every one of those images. But Jesus comes to tell us, too, that these things exist in our world. That there are valleys and mountains and crooked ways and rough places. And that if the kingdom of God is to come in all of its fullness, we must meet the challenge that John the Baptist gives as he announces the coming of Jesus in the flesh. For we seek to announce the coming of Jesus in power at the end of time. And in the meantime, Jesus has entrusted to you and to me the work of the kingdom. What are some of those obstacles that don't allow people to see the kingdom or to journey on toward its fullness? Perhaps it's abject poverty. Perhaps it's hunger. Perhaps it's homelessness. Perhaps it's bigotry and racism. Perhaps it's prejudice of every kind. Perhaps it is the distractions of a world that says you don't need to worry about God or his kingdom. The pursuit of wealth and power. These are the crooked ways. Maybe we are being called to take those obstacles away as well. As the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania invested a great deal of time and energy and resource in making wide boulevards and making straight ways and filling in valleys and raising up valleys and like lowering mountains to make journeys easier, that image is what Jesus is entrusting to you and to me today, that we're supposed to do just that. We're supposed to take away all the obstacles that are in people's way of seeing the fullness of the power of the kingdom of God. And those obstacles are poverty and prejudice, racism and bias, homelessness, ignorance, of every kind. That task Jesus has entrusted to us. For by our baptism, we proclaim ourselves the very body of Christ, the presence of Christ in the world. And if the mission of Jesus was to proclaim the power of the kingdom of God, now that mission is our own. As we celebrate this Advent time, traditionally we think of it as getting ready for Christmas, and it is that. We remember the coming of Jesus incarnate among us, as made flesh among us, as one like us in all things but sin, walking with us in the concrete historical world, but for a purpose. And that purpose was the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And from the time that Jesus ascended to heaven, he has charged his disciples to do just that. To proclaim that kingdom and that power. And not to proclaim it only, but to do the work and spend the resource that is necessary to make it real. To make it real in our midst, as real as the concrete of any road. That is what we celebrate and remember. That Jesus came among us, yes. And we can wrap our minds around that and let it embrace us with the love of our families and with the nostalgia of our Christmas carols and the decorations and all, but for a purpose, that we begin again to proclaim the kingdom of God. My friends, God has called us here to hear his holy word, to feed us with the very body and blood of Christ, that we are fit and ready for the task ahead. So as we mark this second Sunday of Advent, let us look around us and see what obstacles remain. What mountains still need to be made low? What valleys filled in? What crooked ways straight, both within and without? And let us this day resolve that as we hear the proclamation of John, pointing the way to Jesus, we will do what we need for our world to see him.